If you've been here in recent weeks, you've heard us talking at this time about God's promises, God's covenants, set in the Hebrew Scriptures with the people of Israel, starting from the Noah one and Abraham and some of the others. Today we don't have a covenant in our Hebrew Scripture in our first reading, so I'm going to skip over that one. And it's kind of a weird story, to be honest. I did some research on it, and everybody agreed. It's kind of a weird story. So we'll let that one go today. Instead, we're going to talk about our second lesson, which is very exciting. Let me reread these verses for you so that you remember where we're at. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." These verses are kind of a big deal. In our confirmation class, for instance, this semester, we're studying Lutheran history and catechism, which is super fun, right, Gavin?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, you know how, like, the book basically says, this is boring, and then it tries to lean into how boring it is to make it less boring because we're all making fun of it together. That's the plan. Is it working, Gavin? No, I didn't think so. The book is awkward, is what it is. But, you know, of course, each week has a Bible verse that it kind of starts with. And the first week, the thing is about Martin Luther. Start with that, okay. And this is the Bible verse they choose. Because this is, in some ways, the most Lutheran-sounding Bible verse that these Lutheran confirmation class people could even make up. This one right here. "By grace we have been saved through faith. Not your own doing, it is the gift of God." I've known about the importance of this verse for, as it turns out, 20 years, which is a long time for me, because that was definitely before I was religious. But that first summer that I worked at Bible camp was the summer of 1998, and this was the theme verse for the whole week of camp. So I learned it pretty well, and it was basically my first introduction to what Lutherans think is important in the Bible, and what Lutherans think is important to teach kids and adults. So this verse has been with me for quite a while. I even looked in my notes. 6 years ago, I preached about this same thing. That sermon was, it looks like it was terrible, to be honest. So I didn't take much from it except to note that I talked about that that time. Then it was only 14 years before that I had worked at camp and learned this verse. So, our reading from Ephesians starts with three verses about sin. It talks about how, you know, we all have been captive to sin, and then some of us have sort of been set free, and most people are still stuck in the power of sin in the world. And so that part goes on. And then it gets to the important part of today's lesson. And the important part, in some ways, is not even the words that I said, sort of the core of Lutheran theology stuff about how God gives us this free gift of God's grace through faith, and God sets us free. The important part in this reading, as you read through it, are just the two words, "but God." Because it spends three verses talking about sin and about the power of sin. And then it says, "but God," because God does something else. God has something else to say. God intervenes in the power of sin in our world. But God has a different way of doing things than the way we're used to in our lives and in the violent world around us. "But God" are the words on which this lesson turns. So where are the places in the world and in our lives where you have seen God intervene, where the power of sin or pain or loss has been strong, but God has appeared and done something else, changed something, brought life from death, brought renewal to a place where sin has been powerful. Now, I know there's not that many of you here, and I know we lost an hour last night, and I know you all just want to sit and like you wish you had a blanket and you could just sort of snuggle up, because that's how I feel right now, too. All right, but I have to stand up here and talk to you people, and so I want you to talk too today. So tell me, for real, that was not the world's tiniest violin. That was like a Micah-sized violin that Carrie Thurn was just playing as I'm whining about the fact that I have to be up here talking. No, what I want to do is I want to hear from you. Where are places in your life or in this world where you have seen God intervene, where the power of sin has been strong, and then it was this moment of, but God had a different thing to say. But God came in and changed the way the situation was going to go. God brought life. God brought renewal. God brought the love of Jesus into the situation, and things were different. Can you think of a place or a time in your life or in the world where this has happened?
Refugees.
Okay. Refugees. So there was a situation where people were in very dire straits, and they were taken out to a new place and given a new opportunity. I think that's an excellent point. Some of you may notice, normally we have some refugee families here on Sundays. They are off doing baptisms today. We don't have our baptismal font is lovely, but it doesn't meet the expectations of their community. So they're doing immersion baptisms at another church this morning, so that's why we're missing those families and children. So I did say, you know, if we wanted to put in a full immersion baptism thing here to accommodate them and to accommodate us, I would be all for it. We can certainly talk about that. But yeah, so we're missing our own refugee families today. But thank you, Carrie. That's an excellent example of a place where somebody's life can be in a difficult place, and yet with this intervention, new life is given. New opportunities arise. A life can completely change around. What do you got?
Going along with what Carrie said, I was driving with Bobby and I was saying, you know, you're on the plane going over here, it must have been scary. He said, no, hopeful.
Right. Yeah, so on the plane here, Davier, one of our refugee people, you asked if it was scary, and he said, no, it was hopeful. Right, just to repeat for those of you who might not have heard. It wasn't scary. Sure, it could be scary, but things had already been bad enough. Hopeful is what it was, because there was a new life and a new opportunity for people. Do we have any other examples? Can anybody think of anything? Over here.
I think about it when I'm working with families who are torn apart at the time, and as you're working towards goals for the person, the family comes together and they forgive one another and become a family again.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and you work with people toward the end stages of life, and oftentimes in hospice care, right? So when a family is torn apart and this acute crisis situation comes where someone is nearing the end of life and the family is able to come back together and become a family again in the midst of this crisis. That's an excellent example. Thank you.
So I was working with Alcoholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, and those who suffer through drugs. The other side is where we want to be.
Right, so those working with Alcoholics Anonymous and other addiction services, and there are times when they're able to break through the support of community and reach new life. That's an excellent example. Thank you. Yes, over here.
Yeah, stepping in and helping the young people to address the bullying situation with school children, I think.
Okay.
God has made himself known there.
Okay, so God stepping in and helping children to address situations of bullying in school, right? Because that can be a very serious situation for people. And yet change can come. Over here. Yes.
How about epidemics like AIDS?
Epidemics like AIDS. Yeah, that's a good example. I mean, it was a death sentence when I was young. I mean, that was it. And now through a ton of research and hard work and investment, people can now live with HIV. I mean, people hardly talk about AIDS anymore, because it's just a matter of living with and managing HIV. And yet it's still a serious problem, and there's certain communities and certain pockets where it happens and certain places where it's more prevalent, and so we need to be diligent. But you're right. New life is possible, even with this disease that used to just mean the end. Anybody else? Over here.
I think the way people who have received a terminal diagnosis possibly that God can come into their life to create peace for them, even in the midst of that.
So sometimes if your life changes, if your health is no longer what it was, God can bring peace. Yes.
That's what I was going to say. Personal illness is like when I've gone through two brain tumors and anything that could happen during those surgeries.
That's right. So even through your two brain tumors, yeah, you told me about those earlier this week too, but you're still here. Absolutely. I'm grateful that you're still here. Yeah, over here.
Yeah, I'm sure my father was a very serious alcoholic, and he got to God most of his life, and he became terminal. About 2 weeks before he passed, he came down and told my mother that he's going to be all right and just stole the truck.
Wow. Wow, so your dad struggled with that his whole life, but spoke to Christ a few weeks before he died. That's powerful, yeah.
I think I've seen this every single time, and I can't deny it. Every time you hear it, see it, even on the commercials and even in personal interactions, when there are sick children, they are just full of God's grace, completely. Mm-hmm. We can learn so much from what they say, and I have never said otherwise. Everything that you hear from them in person on TV, they're amazing, and God gives them that.
Yeah.
They have to. I believe that wholeheartedly.
That's right. So children who are dealing with real serious illness, and yet they're able to keep their positive attitude, and they're so strong, and that's wonderful. So you, we got one more. Good. Right after your mother died, and she had said these things before she died. That's right.
I got one too.
Okay.
Yeah, an adoptive parent who took on a very difficult time in the family, and knowing and giving it, feel like God gave them that family.
Yeah.
To help them.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. Oh, more. Good. She'd been having a terrible time. She got in a terrible car accident, and that day she began to heal.
Yes.
Your grandson was unhurt. Yeah, that's good stuff. So you've seen this in these examples and in others that maybe you haven't thought of or maybe you haven't chosen to share. And I guess we could stay all day and keep doing this, but I know some of you want to get outside because that's how you are. You've seen this. You've seen God intervene. You've seen change happen when you didn't think it was possible. You've seen someone's heart turn and open to others in a way it hasn't before. Or you've seen healings and changes in people's lives. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one may boast. It is by the grace of God that we can experience this transformation. It is by the grace of God, because God loves us, not because of something we do, not because we earn God's love, but just because God loves us, that we can experience these things. That we can see lives transformed, that our own lives can be transformed. Keep your eyes open. Watch for these times. Watch for these signs that God is at work in our world and in our community. Watch for the places where God is needed most, because God often shows up in those places, even in ways that even we can recognize. God shows up in the places where God is needed most because of the love God has for us, which is not to say that God is going to solve all these problems. These stories were not that God miraculously brought someone back to life, although we do have that coming up in the Bible stuff. That's not always what it's about, but a feeling of peace, an opportunity to move on from difficult things. God didn't come into the world, God didn't send Jesus into the world to take away pain, to take away suffering, to make everything perfect every moment forever. God came into the world to let us know that we are never alone when we experience those things. We're still human beings, we're still going to have to deal with the mess that this world is and the chaos that's all around us. We're still going to have all of those things. And yet, God is with us. God can transform us and transform our lives in our time of need. We'll continue to hear these stories in the coming weeks, this is my time, as usual, to give the plug for our Easter Vigil worship on the Saturday night before Easter morning, because that's when we hear a lot of the biblical stories of God's intervention into the times that people needed God most throughout all the Hebrew Scriptures and in the New Testament as well. That's why we do the vigil, so we can see that God has always been like this. This has always been God's character. This is who God is. And this is how we know God, through Jesus, because of the transformation God brings in our time of need. Amen.